bless each and every one, and we certainly give everyone a warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless everyone this morning, praise God. I had a wonderful time away for a break, and I appreciate the brothers that stood in here to preach and take the services. And I ended up taking a couple of services myself on the break. But we had two powerful meetings and great wee fellowship over in Pickering. There's about 30 of a congregation. And we had two real powerful meetings, and the Lord touched people, and we just thank God for His mercy and for His grace, praise God. As you know, John Noble's funeral was Thursday past. But the brother sent me a few clips of it, but I couldn't hear them because the volume was no good on them. You can't really hear the meeting, but it was quite a turnout on the clips that I was sent. It's quite a turnout of a service, very big funeral. And we know that our brother's gone to be with the Lord, and we just thank the Lord for that, praise God. Let us turn to the Bible this morning to Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. And it's so true what our brothers prayed, the first prayer, for the confirmation of what I'm going to preach this morning. And also what our brother Gary said, the gospel never changes.
Amen.
And also the Lord leads, I believe that somebody in this room has a question. And I believe I have the answer. I know that's quite a bold statement, but if the Lord leads towards the end of this, I'm going to share something with you so that there's no confusion.
Amen.
Amen. And God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Praise God. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
We could turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And we're looking at regeneration through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I want to say this morning, I do not believe it's through water.
Amen.
As people preach that. They preach regeneration through water baptism. That's false teaching. I believe regeneration is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've read it. That's the word of God. Water baptism is obedience once you're saved unto God. And there's a couple of brothers wanting baptized, and there's maybe more to come. And we're going to have a baptismal service very soon. Not with this good spell of weather. We'll certainly have a baptism. We believe in baptism. Let's read verse 18 down. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
And I love this verse very much. Precious. Blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and give him glory that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Amen.
Being born again,
yes,
not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible,
glory,
by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. For the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached,
amen,
unto you.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads, praise God. We want to remember in prayer those on holidays, and the Brother Matthew's not too well, and any others perhaps. If you have a need, just raise your hand up before the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege which is ours,
amen,
as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you it's finished once for all with the cry on the cross, and the way was made through the blood of Jesus Christ, our token and our life. Father, we praise you this morning that your blood shall never lose its power.
Amen.
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Heavenly Father, we do humbly come before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. We bring before your brother Matthew and pray you'll touch him and heal him in the name of the Lord. We pray for others perhaps laid aside sick that you'll touch them. We ask for those on the holidays you'll bless them and give them a great time of refreshing in Jesus' precious name. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the hands that's raised. Lord, your word is a divine searcher of the thoughts and the very intents of the heart, and nothing's hid from the Lord. We ask you'll touch and bless and meet every need in Jesus Christ's name. We pray the Spirit will come in such a way that you'll speak to men and women's hearts and give them the answers they need this morning. Father, close us in with thyself. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I cast out the fear of man, the spirit of fear, and every spirit that would hang about this building. We come against it by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood all over this building. We plead the blood all over this room. And over every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. I wonder if we'll look at this word regeneration. And it means to regenerate or recreate. I want to say from the outside of that service this morning, when a man or a woman is truly saved and truly born again, there's a change. There has to be a change.
Amen.
For the Word of God brings about the change by the Holy Ghost. And it's called regeneration.
Amen.
Regeneration by the power of the blood through the Spirit. Now we know the strength of the blood is the life of the blood. And when you look at the life of the blood of Jesus, you're looking at a life that's superior to the bullock or the lamb or any other animal. You're looking at a life that's superior to your life and superior to my life, because you're looking at the life which is eternal.
Right.
Eternal. Because it's the life of God that was in Jesus.
Amen.
And it was in the blood, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But let's look at this regeneration. It means to make over in a better form or condition. And you notice first, Adam before the fall was a perfect man, sinless. Adam had no sin. And you see, there was a smart fella one time in university down there in Queens, and he had all the answers against creation, people that believe in creation. And old Pastor Willie Mullen fixed him in about 2 minutes. And he asked him a question. He said, what age was Adam? Well, he wasn't 30 or 25 or nothing. You can't say that. God made him there and then. Isn't that great? Now, there was more to it. I'm not going to go into it. How he fixed the boy that didn't believe. There's people, you know, don't believe God made. Don't we believe in the beginning God made? Whether you believe in the gap theory or don't believe in the gap theory, there's loads of theories around it. The main thing is you must believe God made. And we certainly believe God made. But Adam was made by God. And God breathed into Adam breath. And when God breathed into Adam, the Bible says he became a living soul. And if the breath of God, when it breathes into you, you're quickened and you're made alive by the very breath of God. That's why we love that old song, breathe on me.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, breathe in me. Jesus breathed in his disciples even before the cross. And the Bible says they received the Spirit and went out and done miracles. How many know the Word of God says it?
Amen.
The breath of God.
Glory.
The Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep, and there was light. And the light comprehended the darkness. It overcame it because the Spirit of God breathed. And when you're regenerated by the power of the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of the answers to the blood.
Amen.
And the Spirit quickens you and births you.
Glory.
And without the Spirit, you're not born again.
That's right.
You might be justified, but you're at the birth.
Right.
There's three stages: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
And God is coming for a people that believes all the Word of God, not half of it.
Right.
People that believe a bit of it's not going in the rapture, do you know that? He's coming for a word bride.
Amen.
A bride that believes all of his word. There's going to be a group of people that won't believe all of the word of God. There's going to be a group of people that won't receive the Holy Spirit. Now I know you're sort of quiet and looking at me like America must say, like a mule pulling a mule gadget. But that's the truth. You want to know who preached that? Jesus. Jesus preached about the virgins. I know all the denominations take that scripture out of its context. And they preach from it the lost and the saved. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there was 10 virgins. There's 5 of them run out of oil. And I tell you, Jesus came and they had no oil. And they never went in. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And you can't change the Word of God. The Word of God cannot be changed. And Jesus Christ is coming for a bride that's made herself ready.
Amen.
Filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
Let him that's thirsty say, come. Jesus Christ in this generation is outside the church. How many know that? Not in the church. The Bible says he's standing at the door knocking. It's an individual affair. Whosoever will may come. It's up to every individual to let him in. Was he outside the ark in the days of Noah? And Noah preached for 120 years, but they turned it down.
Right.
Brother Andrew preached a great message about it, and you heard him saying, what about Noah's missionary report? There wasn't many saved on it. But he was God's righteous servant, the Bible calls him. Preacher of righteousness. But look at this word regeneration. To revive or produce anew. Now when the Spirit of God comes upon you, I believe it will do something. Now I know we preach. It's not emotion. And I know we preach. We don't feel emotion. But every one of us is going to be honest. And put your hand here, wherever you're sitting, and you're honest about it. When you received the Holy Ghost, you knew it.
Amen.
Don't tell me you didn't know it. I'll tell you, if I light a fire and I get you to stick your hand in it, you'll know all about it. And the Bible says ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and power.
Amen.
And fire.
Glory, glory.
And I tell you, God wants his people to be filled. Not just justified, but sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Four square gospel. It is a spiritual rebirth or a religious revival. Notice, as already stated already, recreate, new creation. The Bible says when you're in Christ Jesus and you're born again, you're a new creation. You're born of an incorruptible seed. God's word is incorruptible. Man's word's corruptible. Somebody could preach an odd way better their own thinking, and any of us could do it. But our own thinking is not the incorruptible. It's the Word of God that's incorruptible. And it never fades away.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let me read you this. When you know what a birth is, it is a regeneration, a new creation. A man becomes a new creation in Christ and by accepting his word. How you save, my brother mentioned it, you accept the word.
Amen.
Now the word is not different today than it was before. And if you read how the apostles preached, that's your blueprint.
Amen.
And when God sent the Spirit of Elijah in this last church age, it was not for us to make an organization and worship a man. preach of the book of Acts. So that we would preach the full gospel.
Amen.
Which is a Savior, a healer, a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and a coming King. That's the full gospel.
Amen.
And you're saved by accepting the word of God. Romans 10 and 9 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You know the first scripture before it. For the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that we preach.
Yes.
Shall you accept the word that they preached? Which is the gospel. It's the word of God. And you accept it and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you confess it with your mouth and you're saved. That's how simple it is. Let me say this morning. Not everybody's going to go in the rapture. We know that. But that gives no excuse to say, well, they don't believe it all like we do, so they're dirt sort of thing. That's a bad attitude. William Branham said, he said, I throw a net out and I catch wiggletails and frogs, but in there's a genuine fish. And when a fisher goes out to fish, he catches all sorts. You ever watch any of them fellas that fish and they're fishing for a particular fish, but they get other fish and they throw them back in, but they don't throw the real fish in. They keep them. The gospel must be preached to all.
Amen.
And whether a person agrees everything we believe or not, that's God's doing, not mine or yours.
Amen.
I can't keep you and put your arm up the back and say, now I'll tell you, boy, you need to believe everything the way I say it, or you'll not go. That's nonsense.
That's right.
I don't believe that. It's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And God does not bother the sheep, he leads them.
Amen.
He leads us to your children along. Some through the valleys, not you know the song, but he leads his dear children along. Now there's going to be a number come out of the great tribulation that no man can number. That's the Bible.
Amen.
Now they're not lost. They will stand judgment. We know all that. But they're coming through. And the Bible says clearly that they had white robes, doesn't it? So they're saved. Now what if you preached and 10 people came, but only 2 of them came the full way, but the other ones maybe didn't come the full way, but they made it in the sense that they were foolish virgin. Would that be a bad thing? No! One man stood up in a service one time and he said, he rebuked the preacher that went up before him, and he said, I'm only here to preach to the bride. How did he know who the bride was? Well, they believed the word of the hour. That's true, but many claim that. But then they put their interpretation on it. It doesn't need an interpretation on it. God's word is of no private interpretation. That's the Bible. And Brother Branham said, a virgin shall conceive. And he says, hundreds of years later, a virgin did conceive. He said, the word interpreted itself. We're called to preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. There's going to be the foolish virgin, there's going to be the bride, but we're called to preach the word. But I think that's a weed, and I think that's a wheat. Well, Jesus says, leave them.
That's right.
Preach the word. Now, Brother Andrew mentioned it when he was here. We could get caught up with this and that and the other thing, that we fail to preach the word. God wants us focused on the word of God. And on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must be our theme. Jesus Christ must be our center. It's Him we've come to praise. It's Him we've come to worship. And He alone is worthy.
Amen.
Let me read you this. God's provided way. The scripture, St. John 5:24. They that believe, they've accepted it. There's something happened to them. They become a new creature. They're a new nature. There's a new big being, a new creature there. The Greek word says new creation. It's a new creation. You've been recreated again from what you were to the image of the Son of God and a daughter of God. It's just such an awe. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened when a sinner can be made to become a Christian. The greatest miracle is when a sinner becomes a Christian. That's the greatest miracle. Do you believe that this morning? It's a miracle. You could get sick and be prayed for and be healed and get sick again. But once you're really born again, the Spirit of Almighty God's in you. You have received. Jesus Christ. Let's look at this new birth for a moment. Why we need it. We need it because Romans 3 and 23 said, for all sin. I don't care what line you take in this Bible, and I can do it as well. I can go through the lines, and there is lines, and you can go through the seed of David and all the different things. It makes no difference because the Bible tells us by one man sin entered the world.
Amen. That's right.
And death came upon all men.
That's right.
By one man.
That's right.
And because it says by one man sin entered the world, every man's born a sinner by nature and by birth. And there's not one man who reaches heaven if he's not born again.
No.
I don't care what he joins.
Right.
Whose hand he shakes. Or what church he joins. Or what name he's under. If he's not born again in the Spirit of God, he's lost.
That's right.
And he'll never be in heaven.
Absolutely.
The Bible says all have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I'm a sinner, but I'm one too. And so are you. But we're saved sinners.
Glory.
We're no longer fornicators. We're no longer adulterers. But we're now in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 21 tells us, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
What a Savior. I tell you, Adam's sin caused universal condemnation.
Right.
Adam's sin caused universal destruction because the Bible says God cursed the whole earth. Thorns and thistles shall you bring forth. Remember, as I said at the start, when God made Adam, he was sinless. Do you know that? That's what we're to go back to. We're going to go back to that. We're going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years in this earth. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We're going to go back to before Adam fell.
Right.
You know the Bible says every man will have his own vineyard.
That's right.
How many know the Word of God says that? I can tell you there's such stuff ahead. You go and listen to a message called The Future Home. It's wonderful. What God's prepared for us, I have not seen, ear have not heard. Jesus Christ is coming again. In John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Glory.
But man needs to be born again because he's born a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, asserts the absolute necessity of regeneration. And if you read John 3, chapter 3, and read verse 3, the verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the gospel Jesus preached in John 3. And that's the gospel we must preach. It's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how could a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's the Spirit that gives the birth. We don't believe in a stillborn birth. A stillborn birth. We want a birth that's living. How many knows what I'm saying here? When the Spirit of God comes on you, you're born again of an incorruptible seed. Jesus said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is a spiritual rebirth. We are born again. You know when you're born again, it's no trouble to stop things because you're a new creature.
Amen.
How many knows that? Right. Brother, I'm still suffering. I'm still will keep on pressing in. Look at this. Man by himself cannot be regenerated. You and me cannot be regenerated by ourselves. There's nothing we or you can do to reach heaven. I preached in Charlie's, I mentioned as well, and I mentioned it here. There's people preaching that there's another stage that we must now go through after we've received the Holy Spirit, and you must go through this fourth stage. And when we go through this, the rapture take place. There's no scripture for that. None of us. When you receive the Holy Spirit, my Bible says that is the spirit of adoption right there. Do you know that? There's not no more program that you need to go through or no works that you need to go through. And I want to tell you, a lot of people today are preaching works. But it's not by works. Ephesians tells us. People are preaching works. The message God sent wasn't a message of works. It's a message of grace. The Bible tells us, no man knoweth the day nor the hour when he come, only the Father. No man knoweth the day nor the hour when Jesus will come. No man. But we need to be ready. Not just on a Sunday, but we need to be ready every day. And the Bible says the bride made herself ready. You know, when you have the wedding, and the bridegroom's not meant to see the bride before it. And how many knows all that?
That's right.
Then the next day, she's brought in with her father. And she comes down the aisle and they come together. But that bride prepared herself. She dresses in white. She prepared herself. And she looks beautiful. And Jesus, you said, well, there's not much of a church. And you hear people saying, like, if that said, it's not great and all. And they talk so negative. That's contrary to the Bible. You're saying Jesus and God can't do it then. That's a negative statement to talk like that. My Bible says God will have a church.
Amen.
My Bible says a glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
That's the word of God.
Amen.
We must prepare ourselves and dress in his righteousness.
Amen.
Listen to this. He needs the power that Almighty God has applied. That is the token. These are my own words. The life for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the life is in the blood, and that life is the Holy Ghost. How many know the life's in the blood? Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But the life of Jesus is superior. It is greater. Look, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I know I preach it all the time. I'm not going to stop preaching it. There's nobody can be compared to Jesus Christ. Not a man. Jesus Christ, there's no other man like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was born without sin. He was born of the Virgin Mary. It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed the Virgin Mary. That holy thing which thou shalt conceive, that holy thing, the child Jesus, he took his father's name. Jesus came, and there's no one else can be compared to him, because every other man's born a sinner. But this man was born without sin. He knew no sin. Jesus never had to be born again. I know there's a false prophet in him. I have to hold back from saying his name, but if I was near him, I'd give him a good clip round the ear. But I'm not joking about it. I make no apologies for it. But the Bible says Paul steadfastly withstood Peter. Didn't he say it? But he preached a message, and I know people believed it, and they listened it, and they preached it, that Jesus, when he went down to hell, was to get born again. False prophet. Don't be shy to say it. He's an antichrist. Because he's against the word of God. Jesus Christ never had to be born again. Because he's sinless. The sinless, the spotless, the blameless Son of God. I want to tell you, when his blood cell broke at the cross, the very life of God was released back to the true believer. You could read Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 9. I won't read it all for the sake of time, but it says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the word quickened means made alive. You by yourself could not do it. You could sit in 1,000 meetings, but you know that you started a meeting or wherever you were, and something came upon you, something spoke to you, something moved you to call on the Lord, and the something that moved you was the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit moves you to believe. You never moved yourself to believe, for no man comes to God, but God seeks man. That's why it's good to get people into a service where they'll hear the gospel. There's a good chance God could move somebody there better than there is where they don't get in, isn't it? And God's ordained through the foolishness of preaching the gospel that he saves man. And Paul says, foolishness unto them that are lost, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. I want you to see here the imputation of righteousness. I want you to get this. I want the hammer works here hard. Because I believe that even around the message circles that 75% of them preach works.
Yes.
I believe that. And their preaching proves they do.
Yes, sir.
Many of them are preaching and denominations do it as well. It's always working, working, working. Now you've got it, there's something else you have to do. There's nothing you can do, for Jesus done it all. If you've received the Holy Spirit, my Bible says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's Ephesians. Now I'll get to my question in a moment. And strongly this morning when I prayed, this came to me. And I have a Bible that I've never used for a long time. I put notes in it. My mother and father bought it from one of my birthdays. I put notes and stuff in it, loads of notes and stuff. I set it in the box and I'm more or less of that many Bibles. I have a lot of Bibles. And this morning, for some reason, I lifted that Bible. I just felt to lift that Bible. And as soon as I opened it, there stood out on the back page, a question and an answer. And I believe it's for somebody in this service. I'm going to get to it in a moment. God's word can't lie. And God's prophets don't lie either. Now there can be people that can change what they say. That's dangerous. I preached at Brother Charlie's and I said this. I said, remember this. Jesus says that this is the age. And you know what? Brother Branham said it as well, but it's the words of Jesus. He said, all manner of sins shall be forgiven, except the word spoken against the Holy Ghost. And the word spoken against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. Not in this age or the age to come. Now that's something, isn't it? May all the old preachers, Big Ian Paisley and Willie Mullen and all them men preach, it's to reject the gospel for the last time. Well, that's not wrong. That is true. If you do reject it, you're lost. But it's more than that. It's to speak against the Holy Ghost. And if the genuine Holy Ghost is working, we need to be careful we don't speak against it. And when God sent a prophet messenger, and if that was the Spirit of God, and people speak against that, they're speaking against the Spirit of God. I tell you, it's dangerous work. Dangerous work. Never forgiven in this world or the world to come. Look at Romans 4. I want you to see this righteousness, imputation of righteousness. Now you mark this, Romans 4, I want you to mark it in your Bible. Romans 4, verse 48, and if you have an Amplified Bible at home, I want you to read it again when you get home in the Amplified Bible. It just brings it out a bit more. But I believe this is a wonderful scripture. I love to preach from Romans. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now we know he's talking to Abraham, but remember as you study it, he tells us when we're saved, we are the royal seed of Abraham.
Amen.
How many believes that?
Amen.
Do you believe in faith in Jesus Christ? Then you're the royal seed of Abraham. Amen. Now I know some people believe they're the literal seed of Abraham. And I'm not going to argue with them, but I don't believe that. And they say they're the lost tribes. No, you know the whole thing. British Israelism. That's all right. But I don't believe that. I believe God clearly showed what he'd done with them lost tribes. Clearly showed it. You read the scenes in the church ages, you'll see it. But to him that worketh, look at this. His faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now you cannot break the word of God, and you can run this theme, and you can run this thought, and this line of scripture through the whole Bible. And it starts with Abraham. And a brother John McFadden preached a powerful message here, you know. And he showed us that it was grace before law. How many remembers that? And he showed us that Abraham had grace. And grace and law came by Moses. But what's the Bible say? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes, we know the law's a schoolmaster. We know all that. But it's to bring us to Christ. But once we come to Christ, we cease from our own works. And we enter into the rest. That rest is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For Paul said afterwards, if he would have spoken of another day, an eighth day, there's no eighth day, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you're sealed. And you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. You cannot be lost once you're sealed. You're sealed in. Now, isn't it wonderful that nobody can kick you out when you're sealed in? A lot of people might try to. It's not right to take you out. But when the Spirit of God seals you in, that's it. You're the property of the Lord. We read it at the start. By the precious blood of Jesus, you're bought. And you're sealed in. I love this verse. Verse 7 saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. God will not hold the sin of Adam against you and me once we come into Christ Jesus, because it's abolished in Christ. How many believe the law is abolished in Christ? The Bible says it is. We're not under the law. I can eat anything because I'm not under the law. But if I was under the law, there's certain things I couldn't eat. Now, let me say this. A lot of things that the Bible says not to eat under the law are good. It's good. You could live under that. There's nothing wrong with that. You'd be healthy, put it that way. And the things, like, let me say, Smith's Wigglesworth was at a banquet, at a big convention. And at that banquet, they said to Smith Wigglesworth, we want you to pray grace for the food. And they had a pig on a spit. And this is true. Wigglesworth said, Lord, if you can bless, would you curse, go ahead. Amen. That's what he prayed. Wigglesworth prayed that. That's what he actually prayed. Now I'm not saying don't eat pig. But under the law, there's certain things you couldn't eat. You couldn't eat a horse. The Bible says you're to eat nothing unless it has a split hoof. How many knows that? The Bible says you're not to take blood because the life's in the blood. So that, you know, the black puddings and all them things made out of blood. But you see, Paul then says, I can eat anything that I pray over. That's what Paul says, because Paul says, I'm not in bondage under the law. But Paul also says, if I'm with a brother that believes that, I won't offend him. I'll go along with him. I won't fall out with him over it. Won't make a big fuss. Somebody wants to eat a pig. I've eaten many a pig myself. But you see what I'm saying? You can fuss over something that means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It won't save nobody. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the thing here for regeneration. Blood. Psalms 32, verse 1 to 2. Blessed is he, mark this in your Bible. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there's no guile. God does not hold it against you. Many say, another fellow would. God, look, I'm serious about this. We have to forgive one another. Even if somebody does us wrong, we have to forgive one another. I have to do it. You have to do it. Everybody has to do it. Jesus taught us to do that. If we're the real children of God, we do that. If the Lord rebukes us, we'll take it, because we're not illegitimate. We're sons and daughters.
Amen.
We'll take the Lord's rebuke. Now I'm coming near, because I won't want to keep this too long. Jesus Christ assumed full and total responsibility at Calvary when he shed his precious blood. The blood cell broke, and the very life of God himself was released to come back on every true believer. We know the Bible is clear. Life's in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. And you know, you remember when I preached from Leviticus. Leviticus is one of the best books in the Bible to preach the gospel from. Leviticus. I never knew that myself. But a brother, Brian, mentioned a man when he was here several years ago, and I went and studied that man's, what he talked about Leviticus, and it was wonderful. How he brought Christ out of Leviticus. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things about the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Now listen to this. I will never be perfect. I will never be perfect. I will never be perfect in your sight. You will never be perfect in my sight. But let's lay that aside. What about in God's sight? I look at you as a human. I look at you as a brother. But God looks at you through the blood of a son as a redeemed one. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And that what you're done, you have nothing to merit it, but it's what Christ done for you. So you can look at me and I can look at you, and I can see faults in you. You can see faults in me, but God looks at us through the blood. Do you believe your son and daughter are gone? That's how God sees you. No matter what somebody else says. If these offerings would have continued, why would have not needed any more sacrifice? But for the worshipper once purged, let that sink way down deep. The worshipper once purged would have no more conscience for sin or sire sin. If he's really purged, you know what purging anything, if it's been purged, the believer once purged has no more desire of sin. It should have been. So therefore the blood of bulls and goats do not, that the life that come out of the blood cell from the goats and sheep, and the burning sacrifice was the life that went to meet the Creator as an animal. It could never come back on you. But the life of Jesus did. When Jesus shed his blood, there was a life to come back in you. That's the Holy Ghost. Well, we just preach about getting saved and about Jesus. That's good, but that's just part of it. What about sanctification and what about the Holy Ghost? We must preach the full word of God. Now I'm going to skip all this to get to this. But now really feel, I want you to listen really careful. Now I'm going to say, if this is not for you, that's all right. But while I was praying this morning, and I waited there for a while on the Lord, and I believe strongly that God showed me this to read this morning. And I want to get this across, because I believe some people have different opinions, but let's hear the right way of it. Listen to this carefully. This is a question. Please explain, because that you said there would be a small number go in the rapture. That these on the earth that's going to be changed, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, but few there be that find it." What about the people that believe on the Lord now and not the way you preach? Now this is asked to William Branham. They don't have to believe this. They don't have to believe the way I preach it, see. Don't have to believe that, for the last day message will be saved. Yes, if they believe the Lord, see. And if they disagree and say, "I don't believe he's the Word," talking about Jesus. "I don't believe that that's right. I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost." That shows where they're headed for. the tribulation period, but those who can accept the word in its fullness. Not me preaching it. Because if the Bible says so, those who accept it is free, because the word's already been judged, and the word is Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we must believe the fullness of the word. Now he says you don't believe in William Branham to be saved. We know that. Now we do not preach here that you must believe in William Branham. And if somebody preaches it somewhere else, it doesn't concern us. We don't preach that. None of us do. William Branham is the end time messenger. We believe that. We don't have a sign over the doors of any name or anything like that. People have called it the message, but Brother Branham didn't. Now remember this. He said when they built, he called it the tabernacle, his church the tabernacle. They put on it the Branham tabernacle, and he said, get my name down on that. Get it off it. That's what he said. He never called it the Branham tabernacle. He just wanted it the tabernacle because God said to Moses, build the tabernacle before you can worship God. That's what it's for. So William Branham's clearly saying you don't have to believe things the way he said it to be saved, but you have to believe the fullness of the word. Now if you say, I believe all of this Bible, you cannot deny that God sent the Malachi messenger in Malachi 4. You cannot deny Matthew 17:11, that Elias will first come to restore all things. You cannot deny Revelation 10:7, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries have been finished. You cannot deny that. But you don't have to worship a man or follow a man. But you have to believe the fullness of the word. And God's coming for a group of people that believe the fullness of the word. And if they don't believe the fullness of the word and reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're going through the tribulation. That's the truth of it. And there's people today, they do not believe part of this word. You know, if you mention divine healing, they don't believe it. If you mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they don't believe it. Then you have the other side of it. You have the other side, for they've came in and were pushed right on out. They've went extreme. Where they say, we're message believers, but they've went extreme. And they're practically worshiping a man. William Branham never said to do that. You have to worship Jesus Christ. But you must believe the fullness of the word. The fullness of the word. All of the word of God. And let me read you this. You'd say, brother, well, that's not for me. I already know that. That's good. I appreciate that, but it's for somebody. Because the Holy Spirit pressed me to tell me it's for somebody. And I know he makes no mistakes. You might say you talk like that all the time, brother. Well, that's what I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. That's all right, but I believe it. Amen. Listen this. But those who can accept the word in its fullness, not me preaching. So it's accepting the word, it's not plain, accepting the fullness of the word. And how many knows that's what we want? Preach the full word of God. Now, could a righteous judge a man twice for anything if the penalty's been paid for? Now what he's referring to is in Romans 8, it says there's no condemnation, and the word condemnation translated in the Greek means judgment. There is no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. You cannot say a Christian will stand and be judged before God, whether he's saved or not, and all that stuff. Maybe for what he's done, and where what he's done for the Lord, but not on the condemnation that can't happen. Jesus Christ already took your condemnation. Amen. And you cannot be judged for that which Jesus Christ took. And there's no judgment to them that are in Christ. How many believes that this morning? Now I know people preach we're going to be judged. You see, the bride's inside the city, not outside of it. There's so much stuff. Well, we need it here. But do you believe Christ took your sin? Amen. When you stand before God, he'll not say, well, I'll tell you what now. You see, when you were a certain age, you'd done this and you'd done that. That won't happen. If that happens, we've no message. Let me say it again. If that can happen, we have no message. Because the Bible says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. No judgment. Now you will see what you've done for the Lord. We know all that. That's a different story. That's a whole different thing. That's not a judgment, a condemnation, or nothing like that. That's a whole different ballgame. What have you done for the Lord? What about your talent? What have you done with it? Are you using it or have you in the ground? That's a different story. I'm going to redeem him, and you went and paid the price for my redemption, and that's my penalty of being in the pawn shop, and you pay my redemption, then how can the pawnbroker claim me again? Unless I sold out again. There you are. When I rejected the fullness of the word, then I go right back in the pawn shop, say again, then fight my way out again if I can. But he redeemed me. He's bought me. I believe the fullness of the word. I'm not going to change. That's what he's saying. Don't compromise for what you believe. Amen. To please somebody. Amen. Because I found out over 27 years of preaching, you can take things easy to please certain people and you'll not please the other ones, and then vice versa and so on. And you cannot preach the audience for this side or the other side. You must preach the word of God. Amen. And some of it will suit and some of it won't suit. And if you come as a critic and you want to criticize, well, you'll have no problem at all. You'll find something. But if you come looking for the Lord, amen, you'll find the Lord. Glory. I hope that's helped somebody. Amen. See, it's plain, isn't it? Plain English? Amen. You do not have to believe it the way William Branham said it to be seen. You see, there's no way that you or me could make a statement. Listen to this. We could never make a statement that you have to believe William Branham to be seen. That's false teaching. You couldn't make that statement. If somebody makes that statement, they're false. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham is God's messenger. He is the last church age messenger. God gave him a message to call out a bride. The Lord does not take us back to the denominations. He calls us out of the denomination into Jesus Christ. Not into the organization, into himself. He doesn't take us back. Not back. Now, if God says they're naked, righteous blind don't know it. And he's talking about the modern church. Now, that's not the true believer. We know that. You can't believe it's for the true believer. Well, then you're saying again, the righteousness of Christ is not enough. You're clothed this morning by the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, Romans 4. Amen. You believe God by faith, you're saved by believing in Jesus Christ, you're sanctified, you clean your life up. Then you go on and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a seal of God. And if a person is genuinely saved, they cannot be lost. Do you believe it this morning? Now, if you tell somebody that God sent a messenger and you show them from the Bible and they want nothing to do with it, how can they say they have the Holy Ghost? How can they say they're believing the fullness of the word? If you show somebody from this Bible what God's done in our day, amen, not in Luther's day or Wesley's day, we believe all that. But how come people have no problem believing about Luther's day and Wesley's day, but they don't believe what God's done in our day? God done something in our day. He sent the spirit of Elijah to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. So that we would believe it the way it was first preached. And that's the book of Acts. Savior, healer, baptizer, and the Holy Ghost, coming King. Let's stand on our feet. Praise God. say, Brother Tom, I have a friend and he doesn't believe any, but look, that's fine. You can't make nobody believe anything. But you don't have to compromise what you believe. You hold on to what you believe. If someone looks, there's people baptized, people with three titles. We know they're not baptized. They're not baptized. All they've done is sweat them. They're not baptized. It's not the Bible. The Bible's plain on it. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive remission of sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Plain. People don't believe that. Now, if you come right down to this word, and you lay out this word and give the word test out, there's not many believe all the word. They believe what their church teaches them. And we have to be careful as well, so that we're not influenced by what's around us, to belong to this group or some other group, and you don't say it the way they say it, you're not in. Well, that doesn't matter about that. Amen. We're believing the Word of God. And when you're in, when you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost, you are not sealed in by believing in William Branham. You are sealed in by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, we appreciate Brother Branham, we appreciate the ministry, but it's not believing him, it's believing in Jesus Christ, and we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. I think it's plain this morning. Do you believe the fullness of the word? The fullness of the word is Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. While the heads bowed, every eye closed, if you want prayer, and you would say, Brother, pray for me, just lift your hand to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. You believe God and you that wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, pray earnestly. Believe God for it. And the Lord will give you it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bless your word to our hearts. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll confirm your word amongst us. And you'll add to your church, not to somebody else's church, but to your church, such as should be saved. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help every one of us to cast out all reasoning and all vain imagination. And to believe your word. We believe you. That you're the way, the truth, and the life. We believe, Lord, we're saved by believing in you. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And your life coming into us. We're new creatures. Born again of an incorruptible seed. We're no longer the same. Lord, we pray that you'll look down this morning through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And you'll bless and touch your people. And Father, for those with their hands raised, give them courage, give them strength, and fill them with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Watch over them. And you know what they're praying for, what they're seeking? Lord, even this question, this answer, I believe it's for someone this morning. I pray it'll help them. Pray it'll confirm them. I pray you'll help us to believe your word and not to compromise the truth for no one. Lord, we know that you said, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And him and the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless everyone now, I pray. Bless the soul leader as he comes. Bless the remainder of our service. And if thou wilt tarry to tonight, bless the service tonight. And save souls, we pray. Bring people in, we pray. Give us all the desire to reach out for you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As Brother Carey comes, God bless you.
Joyful, joyful, little baby. My elephant's in. give us strength, Lord. Give us health, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll touch every body, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Amen.
Everyone, Lord, that needs a touch, I pray this morning that you will give them a touch in their body, Lord.
Amen.
For those that need a touch in their heart or in their mind, Lord, I pray that you'll touch them, Lord. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for each and every one, Lord, this morning. I give you thanks, Lord, for your precious blood, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll keep your hand upon the pastor, Lord, upon his family, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll bless him, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll strengthen him, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help him, Lord, to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, this morning that you've laid in his heart, Lord, to preach the blood, Lord. For Lord, we love to hear of thy precious blood, Lord. Lord, we love thy blood, for it has redeemed us, Lord. It has given us strength, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the whipping post this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you took our sin, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you took our, all our sicknesses, Lord, was laid upon you at the whipping post. Lord, this morning, we look there with all our ailments this morning, and we leave them on the whipping post afresh. Oh, Lord, let not one of us take our ailment with us this morning. But, Lord God, we lay it on that whipping post this morning, and we say to the devil, take it back from where it comes. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for you are indeed a great healer and deliverer, Lord. You are a great uplifter, Lord, when you're cast out, Lord. Lord, when we feel weary, Lord, when we feel broken, Lord, you come, Lord, and pour in the oil and the wine. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to praise your holy name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord. Let us depart, Lord, with the fear of God upon us, and not the fear of man. But let us depart this morning, Lord, with thy fear, Lord, a godly fear. Lord, keep your hand of mercy and of grace upon us, we pray.